Good job. I have got a reading of 21.5 degrees. That high off the ground, it might be like a degree cooler than that.
19.5.
2 degrees cooler down there. But 19.5 is good. Well, amen. You're very welcome. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll sing some of those songs. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, for the nice wee clear spot in the weather today. Thank you, Lord, too, for loving us and for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to give us life on the cross for us. For the good sense to accept the conviction of the Holy Spirit and repent of our sins and trust you as Savior. I pray, Father, please, that you'd be with us and with wherever the full counsel of your word is preached and taught. I pray, please, that you would speak to souls this day, Father. I pray, too, for those that have had leaflets through the doors, that have heard a word of Scripture, that remember an old hymn or a Sunday school teacher, Lord, that those words would make a difference in people's lives before it's everlasting too late. Please bless our time now, Lord. Please inspire preachers and teachers. And please, Lord, give those that hear understanding and wisdom. I include myself there too, Lord. We love you and praise you. Please hinder those that hate you, Lord, and hate your people. And please bless those that love you and your people, Lord. And Father, there's so much going on, but we pray that you'd be one of our number this morning. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Let's take our little hymn books this morning, and we will turn to hymn number 4 in the little black book. Hymn number 4 is Holy, Holy, Holy. Some old classics this morning. Amen. Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you.
Let's swap books just a moment. I'd like to take and turn to hymn number 280 in the big books. And if you're able, we'll stand as we sing softly and tenderly. Hymn number 280, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Thank you.
morning's reading is from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 12. Ephraim feedeth on wind, and followeth after the east wind, who daily increaseth lie and desolation.
In daily day.
Sorry.
What's the verse or the chapter?
Isaiah chapter 12.
Isaiah chapter
12. Hosea.
Hosea, my apologies. Sorry. Forgive me.
Could read from the book of Billy Joel, but then it's like,
next time I'll get the few tips. Go ahead, brother, and my apologies.
Hosea chapter 12. Ephraim feedeth on wind, and followeth after the east wind, he daily increases lies and desolation. They do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. The Lord hath also controversy with Judah, and will fully punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings will he recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angels, and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethlehem, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord, is his memorial. Therefore, turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on the Lord, on thy God continually. He is a merchant, the balances of deceit are in his hand, he loveth to oppress. And Ephraim said, yet I am become rich. I have found me out substance in all my labours. It shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. And I that am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles in the days of the solemn feast. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied vision and used stimulants by the ministry of the prophets. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal. Yea, their offers are as heaps in the furrows of the fields. And Jacob fled into the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife and for a wife he kept sheep. And by the prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. Amen.
Amen. Sorry about that. Amen. Back's out, hearing's out. I'm falling apart. Amen. Thank you, Mom. Amen. Just want to remind everybody we have our St. Patrick's Day green prayer list. And it has been updated slightly, so I would like for you to have a look through whatever prayer requests you have there. And if there are any that are not there that you want there, please let us know. And if there are any that are there that you don't want there or that are over and done, please let us know about that as well. Make sure I have my pen in my hand when you mention it and it's written on the prayer list. Otherwise, what's the old saying? If it's not written down, never happen. Amen. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add to the prayer list this morning? That's good. Does anybody have any private prayer requests? Norman? Yeah. Okay. Right, thank you very much. Has anybody, anything interesting happened over the last few days? Yes.
I have a Thanksgiving
visit
with your dad on Thursday.
Yep. A visit with the man with the glasses. I would ask for prayer for, excuse me, for Steve and Pat. Steve got a new dialysis line into his arm. It looked to be quite painful. It reminded me of a turkey being sewn up after being stuffed, just the way the thing looked on his arm. I had the same there in my hand years ago. Looked quite painful. Please do pray for him and Pat both as they get things sorted out at home, and we hope to see them again in church as soon as possible. We would also ask for your continued prayers for Ed Bissett. That's the pastor in Claddywater and Templepatrick Baptist Church. He is still undergoing treatment for cancer in the bladder. Everything seems to be good. It's just once a week. In theory, he is supposed to get to the hospital for chemo treatment, which actually consists of the BCG vaccination, which makes you wonder what they were pumping into us children years ago. But that seemingly does away with those cells in the bladder. So he's missed a couple because of infections. Please do pray for him. Other than that, it's St. Patrick's Day. And I just want to draw your attention to a note at the bottom of the prayer list where there is a little reminder that we would appreciate no food or drink in the hall, and especially that there would, that I don't mind if you wear a strong perfume, but in the enclosed situation here with the church, there are some people that have breathing difficulties, and we would appreciate that you don't use very, very strong aftershaves or deodorants. That makes it uncomfortable for a few of the congregation. So we'd appreciate that. Somebody once said, has anyone ever heard of the old Derry shower? Never heard? Where you just come in after a hard day's work and you put your arms up like that under the aerosol can and you spray yourself, and then you're washed and clean to go. In somebody's mind, I remember years ago I heard the saying that there is no substitute for soap and water, but we'd appreciate no heavily fragranced stuff and things in there. Is there anything else you need to add? Don't forget Catherine, Pat and Steve, John, Frank and Christine and Mary Ann, and of course Colin as well. Haven't heard very much of him. Please don't forget him, if you would. Otherwise, just continue to pray for Israel. The Lord said there is a blessing in those that are good to Israel, and there's a curse in those that are bad to Israel. It doesn't say anything about whether you're saved or not. It just says there's a curse on you if you curse them, and there's a blessing on you if you bless them. So keep praying for them. They're still God's people, as are we adopted in. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for all the countries of the world and all the leaders of it. I'm sad to say that many of them are showing their true colours when they think they can get away with it. We need good, godly men and women in all walks of life, so that the right thing is done in all walks of life. So please do be much in prayer for absent brethren, for our leaders, for Israel. Interesting times. So if there's nothing else, well, would you be okay to lead us in a word of prayer? Let's close our eyes and bow our heads, folks.
Dear Father, thank this day, Lord, for giving us the strength and moral fault and have your presence today, Lord. Lord, and all, Lord, and we see a blessing, Lord, in our worship, our tithes and offerings, and our thoughts and prayers to fully align with you and our Son, Lord Jesus Christ, dead in the cross of your sins. Thank you, everybody, this day, Lord. Good for us, absent for our Lord as well. Remember, Frank, keep safe and well. Love Frank, O Lord, keep him safe and well, and help him to be more in line with you and your Son as well, Lord. Also, give Call where it is, love from my control, keep him safe and well, Lord, and draw him back to me as well, Lord. Help him mightily, Lord, keep him safe and well. Also, save Stephen Collin, John, bring him back to church, Lord, and save him mightily and powerful, Lord, you evict him, defect him as well, Lord. Also, remember Catherine, do her as well, Lord,
yes.
And bring him to church, Lord, keep him safe and well, Lord. And also, thank you for bringing John to church as well, Lord. That's him mightily and powerful as well, Lord. We have Stephen Pat, Lord. Thank you for keeping Steve well for his surgery or his medical appointment on Thursday, Lord. Lord, house, Lord. Love for the manager, Lord. And help them out in power, please, Lord. Once we have a job for our food, keep safe and well, Lord. And Lord, bring back the church, Lord, which our Lord is in the sea, Lord. And Lord, if all after about 50 years after left the church, Lord, you may help them bring them back to you, as well, Lord. To so many powerful, Lord. We have all the tracks went out globally and brigade away school, Lord, and we use them to convict those that are lost, Lord. To so many powerful, as well, Lord. And help us connect as well, Lord. With the Israelis, Lord, save the Muslim, Christian, and Jew, Lord, to the mighty powerful, as well, Lord. And Lord, keep us safe, well, Lord. May we be more for number today. Give us the best position, Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Let's head to the big hymn book. Mrs. Bradfield, if you would play for us hymn number 357, that is 357. That is one that definitely remember the children singing, but ask, seek, and knock. Amen. We'll remain seated as we sing. That was goodness, that would have been nearly 50 years ago. Goodness, I am getting old. Amen. Let's stand for all people that have worked too well. Amen. I want to talk about mistakes, including the biggest mistake, but mistakes. Then came to him, that's Jesus of course, certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection, and they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her to wife, and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner the seven also. And they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven have her wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry, and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he called the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Then certain of the scribes answering said, Master, thou hast well said. And after that they durst not ask him any question at all. Amen. There are a few verses in there that I would like to pay particular attention to, but I would like to, where is that verse? I'm supposed to have it. Forget that. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll continue. Okay. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us and watching over us. Please bless this time in your presence. And Lord, help my understanding as well, and my reading and my hearing, and everybody else's as well. Please look out for us and be one of our number and help all those, Lord, that are at this time or even during this day have purposed in their hearts to set time aside for you. For those that can get to church in your house, Lord, and for those that can't at home. Thank you for loving us and for all your patience and long suffering, Lord. We pray that you would be one of our number and grant us and all of our prayer requests, Lord, according to your will. We love you and praise you. Amen. Amen. Now, for this particular message, I looked in Mark and Matthew and in John as well. Of course, this parable, this, how would you put this, this hypothetical situation doesn't actually occur in the book of John, but it occurs in Mark 12 and it occurs in Matthew 22 as well. And in those, the Lord says, you do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures. And in one of them, it says at the very, very end, and we'll come to it, is, ye therefore do greatly err. Err is what you read. Err is a mistake that you make. Bear with me this morning. This is an account. And in fact, Matthew and Mark and Luke, they all give their accounts of this portion of God's word. Fortunately for the scribes and the Pharisees, it's not as cutting and it is not as blatantly out there as the Lord calling them out on a mistake. But these detail a confrontation between the religion of the day and those that would use it for their own benefit, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the man that uses his pure religion and undefiled for the benefit of everybody else at his cost. And they try and tie him up in knots using their beliefs. The problem with it is that it's all very well to have a belief, and you are perfectly entitled. You are the king of whatever goes on between your two ears. You can believe whatever you want. But whenever that belief meets the real world and it doesn't work or it doesn't fit, a smart person will say, That belief is wrong. A crazy person will try and change the world to fit what's going on in their heads. Now, part of this is true. There was a custom in the day that if a man's brother who is married died and there was no children, that the brother would marry the wife and raise children up in the name of his brother. That was just an old Jewish custom. It was to do with keeping lands and inheritances and your genealogy and all of those things. That was just a custom. However, the Sadducees, and I remember one preacher saying, they don't believe in the resurrection. In other words, they just believe that this life is it. And they are sad, you see, because they don't have anything to look forward to. They believe that there is no resurrection. So they were trying to take their beliefs and hodgepodge them together with the teachings that the Lord was bringing and trip him up. And the Lord answered, and first of all said, you've believed a lie, or you have not believed the truth. In not trusting in the word of God, you've obviously left space in your heart, in your mind, to trust in something else. These are the facts. In eternity, when people get there, those that trust in Christ get there, there is no marriage. The Bible says that marriage is until death do you part. And that doesn't mean that you're apart from each other forever. That just means the dissolution of the marriage. Everybody will stand as equal in the end of ages of eternity. Everyone that is saved will stand equal with every other saved person, and everyone that is lost will stand equal with every other lost person. And God said there will be no need and no desire for this physical relationship. In fact, we will have the nature of angels, and that just will not be a fact of life anymore. We will be brethren. We will be brothers and sisters. We will have a big brother in Christ and a father in God, God the Father, and a friend in the Holy Spirit. And God said to the Sadducees, you have made an error in your beliefs. This is the facts. Mark chapter 12 tells us, in fact, that you have erred greatly. And I got to thinking about that. In one instance, he said, you do err. And then at the tail end of it, he says, you do err greatly. Now, I've been a Christian for about, my goodness, 35 years. I have erred. I didn't err in marrying Monica, but I have made plenty of errors in learning and growing. I am sure it was probably the Christian equivalent of falling flat on your face and skinning your elbows and your knees. I have done that many times. I hope I have learned many lessons. Those are errors. I have erred. But to err greatly would be to make a life-changing mistake, or, in this case, an eternity-changing mistake. An error might mean that you don't get to eat your dinner one night because you didn't get to the shop to buy your groceries, and so all that you have is a cup of tea and maybe a wee taste of milk to go into it, or a cup of hot milky coffee. That would be an error. But a great error would be putting in rat poison instead of sugar into your tea. That would be a great error, and that would be something you would not come back from. For all that, and the Lord isn't particularly adversarial here, he's not condemning the behavior of the scribes and the Pharisees, he's laying out the facts. For all of that, and this is the reason we went on past verse 38, there were people that were interested in hearing the answer. There's always somebody looking. Now, I know it's not God's will that we make these mistakes. It's not God's will that we make little mistakes and we miss out on a dinner. or we miss out on a church service, or we miss out on a deal, on a car, a house. It's not God's will that those things happen, but sometimes they happen. But I know it's definitely not God's will that we err greatly in not considering what happens next and where are we going to spend our eternities. That would certainly, ending up in a sinner's hell, would certainly be the greatest mistake that anyone could ever make. God doesn't want that for us. And that's what this book is about. It's what the whole Bible's about. It's what God's salvation's about. It's what the Holy Spirit, that friend closer than a brother, is about. It's what our Father in heaven, did I already mention that, is about. It's what Jesus is about. It's all about knowing what's right and having the reason to do what's right and the power to do what's right. I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of people are influenced by what a lot of people say. It's called democracy. You can get a gulpin into government just because everybody else's gulpins and votes him in. Or think he's a lovable rogue and he makes them feel good. That can happen. But a lot of times we take more interest in what a stranger in the far side of the world says than what the God that loved us and died for us says. And the reason all of that is there, and the reason God has done all that he has, is so that we can know. Not so that we can have some vague, warm and fuzzy feeling about what's right, but so that we can know what's right. I don't know if you've noticed, whenever you've gone into the likes of Tesco and Sainsbury's or G's or Frank Long's, you might have noticed these off-centered globular boxes of chocolate that are being put in sale. I think they call them Easter eggs. Do you know the reason for that? It's because we're approaching Easter. St. Patrick's Day precedes Easter by a week or 2 weeks, just depending on when the dates fall. So Easter's coming. And people are going to be eating their Easter eggs, and they're going to be enjoying their big ham or turkey or beef or whatever it is that they have for their Easter lunch. And that reminds me, don't forget, we're having Easter lunch here. You're very welcome to join us. And they think that because Jesus died on the cross, that everyone's going to heaven. And that's just not the way it is. Jesus gave his life on the cross so that everybody could go to heaven if each person would repent of their sins and trust in Christ as their Savior. That's it. Jesus said there's many on the road to hell, sadly, and only a few on the road to life. It's not everybody, and it's not the vast majority. It's not just the Hitlers and the Stalins and the Kim Jong-uns, etc., etc., that is going to a sinner's hell. There's ministers, there's nuns, there's priests, there's pastors, there's policemen, judges, solicitors, streetwalkers, alcoholics, moms and dads, and their children. Many of them, most of them, sadly, are going to end up in hell. And there's going to be alcoholics and prostitutes, there's going to be drug users, and there might even be the odd judge or policeman. And I'm sure a few pastors and their congregations that will end up in heaven. Simply because, A, they didn't get saved, which puts you in group one, the first bunch, or they did get saved, which puts you in group two, the second bunch. I want to start with our verses, the words that Jesus said. And one of the first things he said in one of the other portions of God's word was, "You err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." The power of God, first of all, to forgive your sins. Only one man can forgive your sins. As the scribes and the Pharisees said to Jesus, who can forgive sins but God only? Even them, in their distancing themselves from God, they still knew the gospel. God has the power to forgive you your sins and to save your soul for the endless ages of eternity. He has the power to save it and the power to keep it. He has the power to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, to save you for free, forever, and for sure. God also has the power to fulfill all of his promises in the book. And that means to give you the words to speak. If you are called upon to defend your position in eternity, God will give you the words to speak. The Bible says that God is not a miser with his power nor his wisdom. He says, if any man lacketh wisdom in James, I think it's in James 1, James 2, James 1, I think it is, let him ask of God who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Ask him. And the one verse, of the strangest places to learn a Bible verse, there used to be one in the men's bathroom that faced you whenever you went into the bathroom, in Isaiah 40:31. And this is what it said. This is God's promise to his children. If you wait on the Lord, you will mount up with wings as eagles. You will run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. You can overcome when you do things God's way. God's promise through the Holy Spirit is whenever you repent of your sins, you leave space for the Holy Spirit to take up residence with you in your mind. And God said he will teach you all things, and he will bring all things to your remembrance. God has the power to do that. And even the fact that I am sitting here or standing here this morning, he's filling in all the blanks. Yes, I do have a couple of pages of notes, but God's filling in all the blanks. He has even the power to help you sin less in life. You'll never be sinless because we have a sin nature. But he has the power to help you sin less. If you hide his word in your heart, Psalm 119:11. He even has the power for you to put money in the plate and not go hungry. He will send angels. He has the power to command angels. They are ministering spirits, and they are sent to help you out. Those are just a few things. And I see it's 5 to 12 already. And those are just a few of the things. That's the power of God. The power of God to give you the peace that passeth all understanding. Whenever you unburden yourself completely to him, it goes on and on and on. But the scriptures, this book that we have set our hands upon, that we have read this morning, of course, whenever I'm looking in the right place, they tell us the future. And before I got saved, I was involved in the occult, and you know what dragged me into it? Was telling the future. The horoscopes, then prediction magazine, and whatever else happened to be down in the shops of the day. I wanted to know what was coming. Oh, and they promised great things. I'll tell you something, friends, they could never deliver. But God does. And the reason God delivers, the God that cannot lie delivers, is so that we would have faith in his word, in Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know, but the last words in the Bible went into the Bible just over 1900 years ago. John was an old man in the Isle of Patmos whenever he penned the book of Revelation, after it was revealed to him by God. So maybe 1950, I wouldn't get pedantic, but close enough to 2000 to say 2000. 2,000 years ago this book was finished, and yet it's still coming true today. The things that God promised in it are still coming true today. And the reason for that is so we can take this book that has never lied, that has told us the good and the bad, we can take it, and we can take it to the bank. We can depend upon it and live by it. There are personal promises. If you repent of your sins and trust in Christ as your Savior, you'll be saved. And God will keep you in the palm of his hand. He'll never throw you away. He'll never cast you out. He'll never forsake you. We're important to God. We're loved by God. But there's also the promise that those souls that will reject Jesus, they'll go to a sinner's hell. And God doesn't want that. I was just thinking, you've come across people that you couldn't talk to, you couldn't reason with, but they're going to do their own thing no matter what. And I got to thinking about the people, the things that are there for us to stop people going to hell. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They don't want us in hell. Creation, the Bible says. That speaks to us of a creator. There's so much going on out there that just couldn't have a fall. It had to be the way it is from the very beginning. Every book of the Bible is 66 books. Every gospel tract that has ever been distributed. Every sermon that has ever been preached. Every hymn that has ever been sung. Every preacher worth his salt. Every pastor that loved his congregation. Every evangelist that went far and wide. Every Sunday school teacher for every child that they ever had in their charge. That served the King of Kings. If someone goes to hell, they go through all of those things to get there. If there was a big 20-foot section of the bridge out, and they closed the gate, and they were warning people on the big digital displays, and they had roadblocks the whole way along the bridge, and someone went and opened the gate and drove through all of the roadblocks and fell through the 20-foot section hole that was there, whose fault would it be? It would be their fault. Because of all the obstacles that were put in their way to stop them and to save them, my goodness. Some of the global predictions. The best one at the moment is Israel. Israel only became a nation 76 years ago. And God said it would become a nation, and that it would become a nation in troubled times at the end of the Second World War. And it said that they would have trouble ever since, and they have. The only bastion of, I was going to say Christianity, but Judaism and democracy and tolerance in the whole of the Middle East. You would think people would be flocking to it and saying this is wonderful and changing to be like it. But oh no, they're completely surrounded by Muslim nations and they're hated. That's in the Bible. If I was to ask you how long ago that Israel became a nation and you didn't know, what would you do? You'd probably go on to, hey Google, when did Israel become a nation? And even that was predicted in Daniel chapter 12, that the last days would feature a time where knowledge was greatly increased and where men would travel to and fro. And here we are, every single one of us landed the church on wheels. Shanks' mare didn't figure today, thankfully. But we all landed here on wheels. And we do know that Dr. Shang and Frank, they are going to China in just a few weeks' time. Monica's from America. Goodness, we're from all over the place. The Bible said that we would have a global communications network because every eye is going to see Jesus whenever he returns. And you might think, oh, that would be amazing. It would be something out in space. But the people on the far side of the earth still wouldn't be able to see him. It's a global communications network. We have in Matthew 24 the promise of wars and rumors of war. We've always had them, but now we have them in spades, where everybody's sticking the boot in. We have famines. Did you know we're in the middle of a famine right now? If your food prices have gone up more than they should have, it's because there is a shortage. Or the biggest money launderer in the country has devalued the value of our currency, the government. Pestilences. 4 years ago, you would have said the biggest pestilence out there was HIV and AIDS. A government-protected disease, I might add. But now we have COVID. And we have had, I don't know, many versions have we had? I'm almost certainly planning for another one to come out before very long. I actually came across a very interesting little skit. And it's two men, it's a little cartoon on a page. And one of them says to the other, he said, "I'm sick." And he goes, "Oh no, it's not COVID-19, is it?" He says, "No, I have HIV." And he says, "Oh, that's grand." And he puts his arm around him. That's where we're at right now. We have false Christs. And there's never been a time like it in the whole history of man. And we have false Christs that are so influential that they make it seem like it's okay to persecute Christians. It's almost as if we were living in biblical times where the religions of the day think it's okay to persecute Christians. The Bible says in the last days that we would have the ability to kill everybody. That just didn't exist until about, 50 or 60 years ago. And now we can, many times over. The Bible says that the end wouldn't come until the gospel was preached right across the world. And on the church website, I think you can download, you should be able to download the Old and the New Testament and read it on anything, just as a couple of big text files. When we look around us and compare ourselves to the Christians of bygone days, we have actually let our standards slip. There are many Christians that think it is okay to drink, that it is okay to live in sin, to shack up with people, that it is okay to lie and to cheat and to steal. And you wonder why the love of many has grown cold and the outreach dies. We read in the books of 2 Timothy and 2 Peter about the general state of man in this day. Years ago, I don't know about you, but years ago there was always one or two. I remember one young fella in school who came from a troubled family. But now this is everyone. The Bible talks about people being proud and covetous and boasters and unholy and unthankful and disobedient to parents. It even talks about in the same verses the guys that stand behind the pulpit being traitors who have a form of godliness but deny the power. Remember that power? The power to save you, the power to forgive you, the power to give you every word, the power to give you peace in your heart. They deny the power thereof. Is it any wonder people can't stick Christianity? Because the version that they're peddling out, there's no juice in it. I don't know if you ever got a wee toy for free with a battery in it, and before too long the battery leaks. That's the version of Christianity that most people have subscribed to. And it's everywhere today. Because the whole of society has been subject to being told that they are God. And that their truth is the only truth that matters. If you read the press at all, you'll have read about AI, artificial intelligence, I'm still looking for some real intelligence, and CGI, computer-generated images. Now, the latter has been around for quite a few years. If anyone's old enough to remember Tron, that goes way back, but there was a lot of CGI in that for the day. But artificial intelligence is the new devil, new saviour, that people are looking at. But that was mentioned in the Bible 2,000 years ago in Revelation 13, where the image of the beast is given life, and whoever doesn't listen to him and obey him will be executed. Can you imagine taking out a wee square plastic, black plastic, and showing that to someone back in Jesus' day and saying, "Do you know what that is?" "Yes," he'd say, "that looks like a piece of black glass." And then you run a video for them. There's an image given life. If we were to look way back in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 5, it would talk about, "Woe unto you that call evil good and good evil, that give sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet." And this is where we are. Everything is taken and tipped up on its end. My particular bugbear in this is men wanting to be women, women wanting to be men, adults behaving like children, and children dictating terms to their moms and dads. Governments that used to be elected to do the will of the people are now tin pot dictators deciding what is good for the people instead of the other way around. All of these things didn't happen back in the day, but they're happening now. And one thing that the Lord said, he didn't say buy stocks and shares, although if you have them, look after them. He didn't say buy gold, but if you have some, it's handy to have. He didn't say get a machine gun and a bunch of Dobermans or extra large bullies to protect you, although that would certainly cause a mugger to think twice if you're out walking it late at night on a country road. He said to look up when you see these things start to come to pass, for your redemption draw nigh, and that is to the Christian. That's in Luke 21. God is coming back. And those that are left behind will suffer the judgment of God because they rejected God's call for salvation. And this is for free. Half of the world's population, at least, will die in the judgment. In the 21 judgments, half of the world's population is going to die. And I don't say that with a smile on my face. That's heart attack serious, folks. God said a third of the world's population will die, and a quarter of the world's population will die. And if you work that out, that works out to just about half. And the saddest thing about it all is it didn't have to be like that. All that it would take is for people to get down on their hands and knees and say, Lord, I am so sorry for my sins. Would you please save me? And that act of contrition in the heart, confession with the lips, saves you for free, forever, and sure. To me, those and other instances like them in the Old Testament and in the New Testament are what strengthen and underpin my faith in not just the salvation of God, but the doctrines of the Bible. They are what put me here every Sunday, what put me in the Bible every day, and what had me in prayer every day, because He, Jesus, is my hope, not the things of the world. But we have to live in the world for a bit, don't we? We're not checking out just yet, and that's what the rest of the Bible is for, the standards to live by, so that everybody gets a fair shake. I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of the socialist or communist systems, they tend to elevate the few to heady heights at the cost of the many. Christianity, you can go as far as you want in the Western world and do as much as you want in the Western world. God's law, His commandments, His warnings of life being precious. That knocks abortion and euthanasia and murder on the head. About little children being the heritage of the Lord, and instead of grooming them for prey for some pervert on down the road, we should be protecting them from that. What passes for relationships, that's just a lie. All the stuff they tell you on the TV and the films and on the internet, that doesn't work. Monogamous relationships are the only ones that work. And being in church where you can, so that you can have some very educated and eloquent preacher telling you all of this, that's important too. You're allowed to smile at that. That was a joke. These things work. I am not an authority of God. God is the authority. But I could be speaking about something you never thought of or verses that you never come across before that could make a difference in your life. And the Bible also says to put money in the plate to keep the lights and the heaters going. It tells us how to live. Now we don't have You don't have to go through all of the, what would it be, the Jewish customs. You don't have to do all of that. But there are basic laws in there that show us the right way to behave. And we should. One last thing, and it was a verse that always puzzled me until I was reading this in the right frame of mind. I don't know if you recall to mind where the Lord said that he is the God of the living and not the God of the dead. Years ago, this would have been a whole service. Today, it's just a couple of words by way of closing. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, it talks about the final wind-up for the lost, the great white throne of judgment. And it speaks about the dead, small and great, standing before God. And we're not talking about an episode of The Walking Dead. It's about people that have died in their sins. They're not raised to life everlasting. They are resurrected unto everlasting punishment. God is not the God of the dead. Lost souls can't cry out to God for comfort unless they're crying out for salvation first. Lost souls can't cry out in pain and hope for peace because they have, God is not their Savior. He is not their brother. He is not their friend. Until a person is saved, he is a point of contention. He is your enemy. He was my enemy at one point. God is the God of the living. Those that have been given life and that more abundantly. Those that are made alive through the repentance and the forgiveness of their sins. He is your God, Christian. He is not your God, dear lost soul. He is only your judge, your jury, and your executioner. And he doesn't want to be that. And that's why he has an open adoption plan. He said he didn't come to give us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I know there's a lot of information there. And there is a lot going on in the world, and it is absolutely crazy just how much of what's going on in the world mentioned in the Bible. The reason that it is so we can read that and we can make the right decisions. That we can choose Christ. That we can choose Christ's way of doing things. So that we neither err nor err greatly. God doesn't want that for us. He loves each one of us. He wants each one of us in heaven and respects our choices. So make the right choices and not the biggest mistake that a soul could ever make. I'm stopping there. Thank you for your good time. If anybody wants a copy of the notes, you can have them, they're there. I have them on the computer, so if anybody wants any more, take them, check the references. Make sure. Thank you for humouring me. Thank you for giving me that little bit of your time. Amen. We're going to be in the little black book, number 11, if you'd like to take a turn there. Number 11 in the little black book, and if you're able, we'll stand as we sing, Mortal, Invisible, God in the Heavens. Amen. a good time in our council. May you have a good day. Look forward to seeing you at the next appointed time. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you again for having the doors open and the lights on and a wee bit of heat in this cool, I was going to say winter's morning, but you know, Lord. Please bless us as we go home. Please look out for our absent brethren and those that have stepped away. Please, I pray, restore the fellowship with you, Lord. Please, Lord, tend to those that are sick. Please heal, Father, I pray, with those that are injured or ailing at the moment. And Father, but most importantly, we want to see souls saved. And Lord, we want to be about your business. Thank you for loving us and for all that you've given us, Lord, and for the great price you paid for us on the cross of Calvary. Please see us safely home and back at the next appointed time. We love you and thank you. Amen. Folks, God bless you. We are dismissed. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.